I've got a bunch of notes on Thanksgiving, and I do different ones, different times. I don't know what I hit when I go through time and again. But it's important to remember who we are, where we're from, why we do what we do. And we'll talk about some of that today. Thanksgiving in America, I don't know, it's become a minor holiday. And it's set forth in the schools, and before the youth is something going back to the Puritans and the Pilgrims and folks who persecuted our Baptist forebears. And goes back, and they teach that it was inaugurated by Abraham Lincoln, which is a lie, who headed a nation that invaded our southern states. And I don't begrudge them people. If they want to celebrate something, fine, but don't expect for me to join in with them. But I do believe we ought to show thanksgiving to the Lord in this day and age, a day set aside on which we do that. I would maybe pick a different day, given the history that we'll talk about a little bit, but that doesn't matter. We should give thanksgiving. We should give praise at a time that, any time we have opportunity. Thanksgiving, particularly amongst our Baptist brethren, and even amongst those Puritans in New England, was a national day of thanksgiving, and it was not rooted in paganism, like so many of the holidays that are honored in America today, and even amongst so-called Christendom. Christ's Mass, Ishtar, Easter, those things are rooted in paganism. Thanksgiving is rooted in the Scriptures. Feasts of thanksgiving are known amongst many peoples, but certainly they're set forth by our Old Testament brothers in the Old Testament. The Old Testament saints. God set forth biblical days of thanksgiving, biblical days of feast. And so that helps me realize it's not wrong to set aside a day. We should thanksgiving every day. But God gave Israel certain days to set aside that they would remember in days of thanksgiving. There's many throughout the Old Testament. I'm not going to dwell on all of them. But in particular, there are the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles. In Deuteronomy, we set forth, and most of them have to do with like a harvest season, and they're associated with that. Deuteronomy 16, verse 9, 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee. Begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn, and thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks unto the Lord thy God, with a tribute of a freewill offering of thy hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. We ought to give as the Lord's blessed us, and that involves such things as the tithe and other things during our life. That we ought to give as has been given unto us. Down in verse 16 of chapter 16 of Deuteronomy, says, 3 times in the year shalt thou all thy males appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which the Lord shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. These feasts that were set forth in the Old Testament, observed by the Old Testament saints, observed by the nation of Israel, were observed by our Lord, who was a Jew, who was under the law, who observed these feasts of Israel. John 7, verse 2, we see concerning the Lord's observance of the Old Testament feasts, the Old Testament days of thanksgiving. John 7, verse 2, now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand. It goes on to speak of the Lord's going to Jerusalem to mark that. Verse 10, but when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up to the feast. Not openly, but in secret. The Lord observed the feasts of Israel. He observed the Old Testament. He also observed what were purely national days of thanksgiving. You know, we as Southerners, we as Americans, we set aside days. We remember days. They're not wrong in and of themselves, as long as they're not rooted in paganism. These days were not a part of the Mosaic Law. The Lord observed the Feast of Dedication, which is commonly called Hanukkah, and it occurred during what's called the Intertestamental Period. It's not in the Old Testament. It's not in the New Testament, except as it's set forth how the Lord observed it. It began during the Intertestamental Period. It was a feast that commemorated the victory of General Maccabee and his forces over Antiochus Epiphanes during the Intertestamental Period. And Antiochus Epiphanes had desecrated the temple. He'd sacrificed the pig on the altar. And when the Jews restored the temple, when they recaptured the temple, they cleansed it, they dedicated it, and Hanukkah, the day of dedication, marks that. And the Lord observed that as a Jew. He remembered that, John 10, verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication. And it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Jesus marked that day as a national Jew. And we mark days, Confederate Memorial Day and others, in remembrance of our forebears and their stand for the truth and their stand for the right. And the scriptures indicate that we ought to remember those honorable and manly deeds. Paul writes to the saints in Philippi concerning those things, a verse we often repeat during our observances. The Lord marked those days. He's an example unto us. But this was in complete contrast to the pagan days that some within Israel at various times fell into unfaithfulness, sinfulness. Israel observed some of these days contrary to the clear prohibition of them that's set forth in the Word of God. Jeremiah 10, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. So don't learn the way of the heathen. You know, the Romanists and some others tell us, well, we embraced the days of the heathen. We sanctified them. Rome will admit oft times, you know, that Christmas came before the Lord. It was the birthday of Mithras. These pagans were celebrating it. But we sanctified it. We set it aside, made it a Christian holiday. We don't have the option to do those things, to take that which is unholy and make it holy. We cannot do that. We're not to learn the way of the heathen. If you go on in Jeremiah 10, and I won't do that, you can read down there, and it talks specifically about what we recognize as the Christmas tree, the Xmas tree. Talks about those who go in the woods and cut a tree, and they deck it with silver and gold, and they bring it into their house. That sure sounds like a Christmas tree to me. God says, learn not the way of the heathen. Yes, we can mark our faithful forebears as God was determined to use them, but we ought not mark paganism. We ought not mark the pagan holidays. It is proper. It is fitting that we as individuals, that we as a nation, give thanks unto God for His manifold blessings. In particular, do we as Southerners have much to thank Him for? Ephesians 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things. God's sovereign. We can thank Him for whatever comes our way, you know, and maybe difficult, but in the midst of troubles, in the midst of tribulations, in the midst of sickness, we can say, thank you, Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first Thanksgiving, and I'm not going to belabor it this year, but the first Thanksgiving did not take place in Massachusetts. It was not by the Pilgrims. It was not in 1619 or 1620. The first English, those who settled this country, Thanksgiving took place in Virginia. It took place in Virginia by folks who were not Romanists, folks who were not New England Puritans. It took place at a place called the Berkeley Hundred. It took place in 1619. Actually, the Pilgrims observed in like 1624 or something. Years before the festival of the Puritans. The colonists in Virginia were certainly no less grateful than the Pilgrims. They were as equally schooled in adversity. They were equally determined to root themselves in this new land. They were devout and they were thankful. But we don't remember them, at least not popularly. That's not what's taught in schools. You know why? Because they made a terrible error. They were Southerners. And we're going to glorify the Yankee Nation in the North, in particular after what occurred with the invasion of the 19th century. Existing documents make clear that these Virginia colonists were God-fearing and Christian people. Every document that they wrote set forth their duties and obligations to God. He was always described as Almighty God, referring again to His sovereignty. They were not all Baptists, but they were not so inclined to persecute our Baptist brethren as were the Northern Puritans and Pilgrims from Massachusetts. A renowned Yankee, Arthur Schlesinger, modern one, wrote in 1962, Schlesinger was an advisor to President John Kennedy. He spoke of an unconquerable New England bias when it came to setting aside and remembering Thanksgiving. And he acknowledged that Virginia had a claim to have celebrated the first Thanksgiving, and that was, quote, quite right. Their observance was around December the 4th, and perhaps if the Lord's pleased to restore a free Southern Republic, we'll have Thanksgiving on December the 4th. We're not going to be doing anything else in December, hopefully, not marking the birthday of Mithras on December the 25th. But again, I don't begrudge others, but don't expect me to follow them in their error, follow them in their paganism and such. The first Thanksgiving proclamation, and they would like for you to believe it was done by Abraham Lincoln. It was done by our very first president, George Washington, who also made a terrible mistake. He was a Southerner. The very first Thanksgiving proclamation by the very first president, a Southerner, in 1789, quote, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, and to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection." Further on, he says, "Now therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great, of the great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was and that will be." And not only did Washington set forth that, our President Jefferson Davis also set forth such proclamations during the life of the Southern Republic, and he set them forth before Lincoln ever set one forth. In 1861, early on in the war, after we were invaded, President Davis set forth a day of fasting and humiliation. He said, "Whereas it hath pleased Almighty God, the sovereign disposer of events, to protect and defend us hitherto in our conflicts with our enemies, as to be unto them a shield. And whereas, with grateful thanks, we recognize His hand and acknowledge that not unto us, but unto Him belongeth the victory. And in humble dependence upon His almighty strength and trusting in the justice of our purpose, we appeal to Him that He may set at naught the efforts of our enemies and humble them to confusion and shame." Our Baptist forebears came to America early on. They were persecuted by the New England Puritans and Pilgrims. But there's a passage from D.B. Ray's Baptist Succession that I often read at Thanksgiving. He speaks of our Baptist forefathers who early on came to this shore as they fled from the persecutions of England, only to be persecuted in the States. Said, well, then the colonies. Said, "Poets and statesmen have united to swell the sounding praises of the Mayflower and its cargo of pilgrims, who only fled from persecution to become themselves the bitter persecutors of the hated Baptist. But what bard, historian, or statesman is kind enough to give the name, mark the course, record the incidents of the voyage of that favored vessel which conveyed the Welsh Tract Church from the shores of Europe across the briny deep to find a home in the tangled forests of America?" That church still exists, by the way, Welsh Tract Baptist Church. I used to often correspond with, communicate with their pastor. He's since passed on, and I'm not sure who's the pastor there now. But they remained true to the faith. The Welsh Tract Baptist Church, where they might unfurl the banner of religious liberty, which should never be stained by the foul blot of persecution. Or who can furnish the history of that ship which bore the heroic John Clark from London to the American shores? Must it be left to ocean winds and waves to sing the praises of these pioneers of the Baptist denomination in America? Perchance these favored vessels were guarded in their perilous voyages by angelic legions, who have treasured up in the archives of heaven the details of the adventures and sufferings of the members of the sect which is everywhere spoken against. How deeply interesting must have been the church meetings of this Baptist church when they gathered for the worship of God as they sailed on the bosom of the mighty deep and rode the boisterous waves of the stormy ocean. And when they first met in church meetings in the wilds of Pennypec and Welsh Tract, surrounded by savage beasts and still more savage Indians, how solemn must have been their devotions. Now, that's who I choose to reflect upon. I don't care how people other places reflect upon things and their ancestry and their heritage, and I don't begrudge them that. But don't seek to force that down my throat and my children's throat. We remember Thanksgiving to God. We thank Him for His faithfulness to His people. We thank Him for the people He used before us to bring us to where we are, to make us who we are. Like anything holy or spiritual, the world has sought to secularize it. Most churches have become secular, basically. Rock and roll bands and whatever else you want to name. Light shows, smoke, whatever. We need to beware of the modern secularization of Thanksgiving. Now, we're going to have... Actually, we're marking our Thanksgiving on Friday because of family situations instead of Thursday. We're going to have a turkey. I like turkey. It's kind of traditional. But it's not Turkey Day. You know, you hear these newscasters, the weather people, Turkey Day. It's not Turkey Day. It's Thanksgiving Day. Does it stick in their craw to say Thanksgiving? If you use that term Thanksgiving, what does it mean? Well, there must be somebody that you render thanks to. They don't want to acknowledge that. So we just have a turkey day. Since there is no God, since there's no one to be thankful for, turkey day doesn't offend the secular humanist. And we surely don't want to offend anybody. And then Thanksgiving's largely become overshadowed by, you know, Black Friday. You know, that's the big thing. People going out shopping on Black Friday. Shopping till they drop. They get in fights sometimes. Almost, and I think in some instances, even killing each other to get a great deal on a television set or something. Now it's Thanksgiving Day. We're called to give thanks. We're called to give thanks, as we said before, without limits, evermore, without ceasing, in everything. In Psalm 136, we see three times since the session the need to give thanks. Psalm 136, beginning of verse 1, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, L-O-R-D, all capitals, to Jehovah, not to Yahweh. Whatever invention that was by the modern disbelieving scholarship. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, give thanks unto Jehovah, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. The very next verse says, Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. He's the true God. The rest are just imitations. Pretend. Scripture says God with capital. Of gods. Lowercase. The God of gods. For His mercy endureth forever. And then the next verse, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords. again, capital L, but not the whole word. That's speaking about Adonai. He is the ruler over all those other lords. He's the Adonai. Jehovah is our God. He is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. And so how appropriate it is that we give thanks unto the Lord. And we're going to sing a hymn, and if you like, I'm going to give folks an opportunity if they want to say a word of thanksgiving or praise or testimony. And it's not necessary, but everybody's welcome to do so if they're led of God to do it. We're going to stand and sing number 372, Thanks to God. 372, Thanks to God. Which is what we're about.
Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all Thou dost provide. Thanks for times now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and dreary fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayers that Thou hast answered. Thanks for what Thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all Thou dost supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort and despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns just since the rain. Thanks for home and thanks for fireside. Thanks for hope and sweet refrain. Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope in the tomorrow. Thanks for all eternity.
You may be seated. Anybody like to give a word of testimony or thanksgiving? Yes, sir.
I'd like to thank God to my wonderful parents.
Amen.
My dad didn't have like a father figure, and he had to go through like poverty, and he worked very hard to get where he's at right now.
Amen.
And I want to thank my wonderful mother for working very hard too. And I want to thank my wonderful brothers for having such a wonderful life. And I want to thank to God for such a wonderful family.
Amen.
That's it.
What an inspiration that is. Yes, sir.
A good mindset is like I gotta thank to God the small things we have in life. Our normal day is someone's probably dream day because we have clothes on our feet, or shoes on our feet, socks, and just normal things some people don't have.
Right.
I just like to thank God.
Amen. Anybody else want to say a word of testimony? Brother Hal?
Well, as always, I say the same thing every year, but it's always important. I mean, it's I often pray for the same things because they're the things that are always on my
Amen.
Heart. But I'm mostly thankful for the salvation that we have
Amen.
Through our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, and for the sacrifices that He made.
Amen.
And it's important for us to remember during difficult times, no matter how difficult we've had it, we never have it as rough as Jesus had it. I mean, He lived a sinless life, but He bore the sins of the world, and God poured His wrath out upon Him.
Right.
And Jesus willfully took that to buy our salvation. And we often, you know, mentioned it in here before, we just see, if we go to the store, we know that the more valuable something is, the more it costs. And our salvation cost God His Son.
Amen.
But God gave His Son so that we could have that. And so I'm just so grateful for that salvation, that promise of a life forever with God.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Anybody else? No.
I'm thankful for everybody that's here and the testimonies that have been given and
yes.
shows God working in people's hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thankful most of all for our Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen.
His completed atonement on our behalf for choosing us, even though we did nothing to deserve that. Thank you for my husband, my family, and each of you.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
I would like to thank God for all the, first of all, for salvation.
Amen.
And for this church.
Thank you.
The only sovereign grace that here in Gainesville, I'm so thankful for that because we're not taking the glory from God.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for my family because I'm not dragging them to come here, and they're always, you know, willing to come to church and talk about, you know, what are you preaching and what the Bible said. I'm real thankful for that. And thankful for the corrections that we made mistakes, but God is always there to forgive us. And yeah, most of all, very thankful for the salvation and for this church.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
I wanted to say I'm thankful to God the most, you know, and also my family too for being here by my side. Life is rough. They're always there, and God is there with me. You know, to say that.
Amen. I thank the Lord for all y'all. And you are a great inspiration there on the back row, and everybody here, an inspiration, humbling. You know, the Lord set me here as the under-shepherd for a while. I'm not very good at it, but the Lord's put me here, and you all humble me when I look at you and hear from you. I thank the Lord for my family. I thank the Lord for the help meets He's given me. And again, some of my preacher friends used to call her Saint Diane. Now, we're all saints, but they used to call her Saint Diane because she had to put up with me. And they were right. And she's done that for many years now, something like 52 plus years. The Lord's been good, and I'm thankful for that. The children He's blessed us with, the grandchildren, and this year we became great grandparents. Who would have ever thunk that I'm old enough to be a great grandpa? My wife's not old enough to be a great grandma, but she still is. And we're thankful. We're thankful for all those things. And you all mentioned our salvation. It comes from God, and as Sister Tensei mentioned, it's, you know, the glory goes to Him, not from us. Sorry, I decided to get saved. You did, really. No, God chose me from before the foundation of the world. That didn't make me anything. I was nothing, but He did that. And so all the glory goes to Him and to our Savior. And I thank the Lord for His church here, little fellowship. I thank the Lord for the fellowship of the saints, for the brethren that we communicate with and know of. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to serve Him. And for broadcast today, we have our website, we post our audio. I serve in other things, and I think the Lord calls us kind of to our whole life. You know, my service involves the rifle and pistol matches I run in Free Florida First, and the people I meet there and influence there. And who knows how the Lord's going to use those things. And I'm thankful for all of that. I'm thankful I can have the assurance, I believe, that we all of us have been called to this time for His purposes. Who knows but that we came to the kingdom for a time such as this. And we did. And we did. And I'm thankful for all those things. Okay, we'll sing a closing hymn unless somebody wants to say something else. You see, I forgot something. I want to remember. You okay? Yes, sir.
I want to thank God for the challenges, even the challenges in life, because we grow through these challenges, and I want to thank Him for that, even for the good times. And I learned a lot from my challenges in life, temptations.
Amen.
Of sin and stuff. And I learned a lot from that.
Yes.
I want to thank God.
Amen. How true that is. Well, we're going to sing a closing hymn, number 12. This is my Father's world. That's our assurance. That's our peace. This is my Father's world. We can rest in Him. Number 12. And if you like, you can stand.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, and the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is a ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied in earth and heaven.
Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the privilege to come before Thee in thanksgiving. Lord, may we ever give all thanks. May we ever give all praise. May we ever give all glory unto Thee. We're nothing of our own. And Lord, as Paul said, what I am by the grace of God. And He goes on to say that grace is not in vain. Lord, You've called us to serve Thee. May we do that. Help us to be the servants you would have us to be. Use us to your glory. Be with those who need your healing, with those who need your comfort. Be with Brother Ed as he's away today. Be with us as we this week set aside days of thanksgiving with our families. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior, his all-sufficient and completed atonement. And we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.